from Revelation chapter 15, the first three verses. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Notice carefully now, we introduce chapter 16 by reading from chapter 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now notice chapter 15 and verse 8. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now from this smoke-filled temple, if you will note carefully, no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. There were seven plagues, seven angels, seven vials of wrath, and that is interpreted as seven bowls of wrath. Now, we're talking about the wrath of God. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 1, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath of God upon the earth. Now, notice that this is introduced in chapter 16. I heard a great voice. In chapter 16, the word great is used 11 times about great. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, I want you to note carefully, the seven angels had seven specific targets upon which they were to pour their vials of wrath. Pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, these angels went at the command and the commission of God. Now, angels, the Bible teaches us, are ministering spirits. If you know anything at all about the Bible, you probably read a number of scriptures in the Bible that teaches us where angels appeared unto men, maybe sometime an individual, again unto a group of men, would appear to a prophet and bring a message from God. Remember, it was an angel that came to Mary and said, you have found favor with God, and you are blessed and you are honored, because you are going to give birth to the Son of God. Many times I have read in the Scripture where angels came with messages of mercy. Messages of mercy. Time and time and time again. You'll find that angels came at the command of God to bring to people a message of mercy, a message of deliverance. But these seven angels are coming upon a mission of wrath. When you talk about the wrath of God, some cannot see how that God, being so just and so good and so holy and so righteous, could ever permit His wrath to be poured out upon the earth without mixture. Now that's human reasoning. Let us forget human reasoning for a little while and look in the Bible. What does the Bible say about the wrath of God? Revelation chapter 14, The Bible gives us this message, that the wrath of God shall be poured out into the cup of His indignation without mixture. In other words, there'll be no mercy, there'll be no love mixed in with His wrath. He will come through the power of the angels, and they will have a commission and a command from God to pour out the vials of the bowls of wrath upon the earth. It is called the wrath of God. Now, notice the seven here. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Now the first angel, he poured out his vial upon people. They had boils on their bodies. Then the scripture said the sea was turned into the blood as the blood of a dead man. Then the freshwater streams had the wrath poured out upon them, and they were turned to blood. Then the heat was from the sun was so hot until men died by heat stroke. Then the darkness came. It went to the very seat of the beast of his kingdom. Then the waters were dried up, where the kings of the east might come to fight the battle of Armageddon. Then the elements were afflicted and affected by the seventh angel, and it came a hailstorm. Now these are the seven vials, the seven bowls that God said was going to be poured out by the hand of the angels upon the earth. And that is called the wrath of God. And I want to tell you, friend, if you'll listen to me tonight, if you'll listen to these scriptures, if you'll look at these pictures, if you can walk out of here tonight unsaved, I'm going to be a very disappointed and a surprised individual. It's time for us to realize that we must run to the ark of safety, that we must get in the hiding place. And the scripture said in Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Now notice, and the first went, now the first angel, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now there was a grievous sore that came upon the bodies of men. It was a noisome and a grievous sore that afflicted the bodies. As I called your attention in the beginning of our thoughts tonight, that each of these angels had a specific target upon which to pour out his particular vial or bowl of wrath. And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon men who had worshipped the beast and his image. The first target and the first angel, he aimed his vial at the beast worshippers. Now you notice that tonight. My friend, in this great tribulation period, there's going to arise a man that's called the Antichrist, that is going to demand your devotion and your worship. And you cannot buy or sell unless you have his mark, his name, or his number. And you hear me tonight. The Bible teaches that when this takes place, the first angel will pour out his vial of wrath upon the beast worshipers. You know what God wants us to do tonight? You know what God has demanded of men? He has demanded that we have no other gods beside Him, that we are to worship Him. God said through the mouth of the prophet, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no other. He wants our worship tonight. I said He wants our worship tonight. He wants our praises tonight. He wants our thanksgiving tonight. And I'm going to give my thanksgiving to Him while I'm in this world and I'm getting ready for the other world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, notice carefully the sores, the noisome and grievous sores. And that simply means it's a very hurtful, a painful sore, and very offensive to the smell. Now, that is the first target. Now, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 3, and the angel, the second angel, poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and the Bible said the sea was turned into blood as the blood of a dead man. Now, we understand what he's talking about when he says, as the blood of a dead man. When blood ceases to circulate through the body, that blood congeals. Had you ever stopped to think what this is going to mean? That when the waters of the sea will congeal like the blood of a dead man, when it quits circulating through his body, that's going to affect shipping. The fishes are going to die in the sea. Can you imagine a God that has that much power? I believe in my mind, in my thinking, I can believe that God has that kind of power. You know why I believe that? Because in the beginning, God created all things. He spoke all things into existence by the power of His Word. All He had to say was, let there be light, and there was light. All He had to do was to speak the Word, and everything appeared. Now, if He had power to put it all here, He has power to take it all away. If He has power to take it all away, He has power to afflict it until He does take it away. The sea will be turned into blood as the blood of a dead man. Congealed. You know, somebody don't like blood. They don't like to be around blood. They can't stand it. They'll faint. I've seen people, even at the scent of blood, they'll just fall out. They can't help it. But you wait, my friend. I'm preaching on the wrath of God tonight. The seven last plagues of the book of Revelation. You talk about a bloodbath. All the wars that we've had in history, as far back as we know anything about, all the wars that has been fought, all the blood that has been shed, all the people that's been killed and crippled, all that came up missing in action, all that has been done in the past will be a mild affair compared to what's going to take place when this church is gone in the book of Revelation. This is going to be worldwide, my friend. All the great bodies of water are going to be affected by the wrath of God that this angel pours out upon the seas. And everything in the sea will die. Shipping, world trade, all of this will be affected. I've thought many times about the seas, you know. Commerce. Sending implements of war. Soldiers. Trade. Commerce. Business. And all of this. Ships everywhere. Going from nation to nation. But after a while, that's all going to stop. This is going to affect everything. You wait till God gets ready. You wait until God says that's enough. Everything is going to come to a screeching halt. Tell me, my friend, that God's not powerful. Somebody said, I'll just go to bed and cover up my head and God won't know where I am. You wait. He's going to search everybody out. You can't hide. You can't hide. Now the third angel. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, I want you to note this now, that heaven justifies God in doing what He's doing. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, wast, and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. This is the judgments of God. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Don't leave here tonight and say God's unjust. Let me tell you, heaven agrees with what my Lord is doing in the book of Revelation. The angel of the waters said, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. They've shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. There was a man in the Bible said, the God of the whole earth will do right. He's never made an error in judgment yet. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Now, he had power to affect the freshwater streams. The other angel had power to affect the seas that had to do with commerce and business and shipping and all of this. But when you get down to your drinking supply of water, that's another story. And this angel had this power. Now, here's a beautiful picture, if it was not for the blood. Beautiful foliage, trees, rocks. It's a very restful thing to get alone somewhere. The woods. Come upon a stream like this, flowing over the rocks. That's a beautiful sight. Fresh water. Probably fish hidden around in the rocks. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful place. But one day, this beautiful thing that we call creation, man has marred this by his sins. And when man has marred God's creation with sin, and by sin, that automatically throws the door wide open for God to walk in and to pour out his wrath without mixture and to execute judgment upon the ungodly. Now notice, a river turned to blood. A river turned to blood. The drinking water has been affected. I remember the days when we used to go out to the old country well, take a pulley and a bucket and a rope. You let it down, and you pulled up a cool, refreshing drink of water. Those kind of wells, if there are any around anywhere, people are going out to draw up a cool, refreshing drink of water. And they're going to draw out of the ground a bucket of blood. At night, you go to the bathroom or the kitchen, turn on the hydrant with a glass to get you a drink of water in the night. Instead of that pure, refreshing drink of water that's coming out of that hydrant, you will draw out a glass of blood. Can you imagine what I'm talking about tonight? Somebody said that'll never be. Somebody said the preachers don't preach on this anymore. You're right. I'm getting calls from all over this country. Bring that setup to our church. We want to know what's going to happen in the future. Preachers, somehow they've gotten away from hellfire and brimstone and judgment and wrath and all of these things. We've got to preach a well-balanced gospel. Not only have we got to preach the love of God, but we've got to preach the wrath of God to Christ-rejected men and women who has rejected the love of God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. The rivers turn to blood, turn to blood, turn to blood. If people could realize that this world tonight is headed for a bloodbath, we'd have a revival in this place tonight. And I heard the angel of the water say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Remember, there was two witnesses that came as prophets in the tribulation period to tell them about the coming kingdom. And you know, they kill them and they lay in the streets. And let me tell you, friend, when you begin to persecute and try to do away with the saints of God and with the prophets of God and with the house of God and all things that pertain to God, let me tell you, the wrath of God, the Bible said, is revealed from heaven against the children of disobedience. Oh, yes. And the fourth angel now poured out his vial upon the sun. I saw it rain today, and after a while, clouds passed, the rain passed. Beautiful sun began to shine again. Sun shines in the sky, supplies vitamins for your body. It supplies vitamins for your crops, your gardens, your yards, your lawn, your flowers. The sun. God put that sun up there. He put it up there for a purpose. It's a great light, the Bible said. And power was given unto the sun to scorch men with fire. You walked out maybe in the sunshine today. You were not scorched with fire. The sun blessed you. But one day, power was going to be given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and all repented. And blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Somebody said, I'll wait now. I've sat in the church 10 years, 25 years, 30 years. Oh, I was raised in it. I've heard all about it. I know all about it. You can't tell me anything. But it's the right time. I'll wait till the beast comes and the Antichrist takes over, and then I'm going to turn my heart and life to God. When you sat under the sound of the gospel and you rejected it, you can't come to God in a church like this, among a praying group of baptized believers, you'll never come to God here. They didn't repent, they cursed. When the sun began to scorch their bodies with fire, my friends, they did not repent to give glory to God, but they blasphemed the name of God. They actually cursed and shook their fist in the face of God, and they blasphemed Him because they knew He had power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him glory. Look at this sun. To scorch men with fire. It was so hot until the bodies of men were scorched with fire, burned by the heat of the sun. Sunstrokes. People falling out everywhere. Sunstrokes. Why, people have sunstrokes even in the heat that we have without the tribulation period. People have sunstrokes. And if you'll notice what I'm preaching tonight, my friend, I'm just giving it to you clear, simple, and plain. There's no ifs and ands and buts about it. That's the way it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. When you talk about revelation, I'm talking about something that's going to be in the hereafter. I'm talking about something that was prophesied. I'm giving you prophecy tonight. This is what's going to happen to the world that has rejected God. Sunstrokes. Heat scorches the bodies of men by fire. They won't repent to give God the glory, but they blaspheme and curse Him. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now this is the kingdom of the beast. This angel has power to pour out his vial upon the seat of the beast. That's where he's ruling from. And his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. His kingdom was full of darkness. You recall in Egypt, the scripture teaches us that when God sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the Israelites into the land of Canaan, a large land flowing with milk and honey, God sent plagues upon Egypt. The darkness was so severe in Egypt until the Bible said you could feel that darkness. Darkness, darkness. The Scripture teaches about outer darkness. That's beyond this world. It's not talking about this kind of darkness. Outer darkness. Lost in outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But this takes place on the earth when the angel comes with his vial, and the kingdom of the beast was filled with darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. A strange thing, when people get in such intense pain, I've been around a lot of sickness, and I've seen people chew their tongues because of such intense agony and pain in their bodies. But you wait till this time arrives, my friend. You know, this is no laughing matter. I never was any more serious in all of my life than I am right now. I could honestly fall on my face on this carpet and weep my heart out tonight when I see the slackness, the looseness, and the unconcerned spirit that has gripped a lot of people. Did you know it's hard to talk to people today about God? They don't have time to listen to you. Oh, I've heard church. Just wait one day. I'll get everything fixed up all right. Maybe, and if I don't, I'll take a chance. Listen, friend, don't take that chance tonight. Don't take that chance tonight. Now notice, Revelation chapter 16 is dealing with this angel. And his mission is to pour out his vial that he might prepare the way of the kings of the east on their way to Armageddon. Now, if you'll note this scripture here, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. That's the devil. And out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist that's ruling a systemized world. He sits at the head of a systemized form of government. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. The false prophet is the head of the false church, the apostate church, the old harlot church in Revelation chapter 17. Now notice, three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. There is an unholy trinity. Now you notice this. There's the beast, a man. The false prophet is a man. The dragon is the devil. The devil is the back of all of it. He wants the beast, the Antichrist, to be worshipped instead of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care what kind of a religion you have, just so it's a false religion. He doesn't care what church you belong to, just so it's a false church. You can be burdened down with religion as far as the devil is concerned, but he'll fight you when you get real, honest to God, heartfelt salvation. He'll call you crazy. He'll call you a heretic. They say, you've lost your marbles. There's a lot of folks I know that's not in the church, and from their action, they've lost more than their marbles. I'm not off of my rocker. I haven't lost anything but a life of sin. I've gained righteousness and holiness, and I've gained the presence of God because I came to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now notice, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Well, they are the spirits of devils who work in miracles. Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. That's where we're going tonight. We're headed that way tonight. It seems that the rulers and the leaders of the world know that something has happened. General Douglas MacArthur made this statement when Japan threw in the sponge, World War II, and surrendered. He made this statement. He said, we have one more try for democracy. He said, if we fail in this endeavor, the next thing is Armageddon. They know it's coming. The leaders of the world know it's coming. They know there's something in the air. There's something that's being cooked. And I'm going to tell you, friend, it's coming. The seven plagues of Revelation are coming. Armageddon is coming. The great tribulation is coming. The wrath of God is coming. But that's not all that's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Hallelujah! And I want to proclaim that message tonight. He's coming. He's coming. Armageddon. Whole world. Not just a few isolated nations, but the kings and of the whole world marching toward Armageddon. Every morning you pick up your newspaper. Every night before you go to sleep, you listen to the late news. Read the evening's paper. Read the morning's paper. There it is. That's all you can see everywhere in print. It's all you hear. Confusion. Terrorists. This, that. Hijackers. You get on a plane and start to Chicago, you may wind up in Cuba. No telling where you're going. Robbers. All of these unclean spirits are working in men tonight to gather the whole world to the battle of God Almighty. And He gathered them together for the battle of Armageddon. Can you imagine that? Now, that was this angel's duty, was to prepare everything and get everybody on the march. And he did, my friend. He did, and one day, this little slogan right here will be a reality on the eve of Armageddon. I'm going to cover that subject fully and thoroughly next Friday night. The Battle of Armageddon. What's it all about? How's it going to take place? Why is there such a battle fought that the blood will flow almost 200 miles up to the horses' bridles? I want to tell you, friend, this world is headed for a bloodbath. But the church is headed for the rapture in the sky. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of all of this, I can be happy because I believe I understand what I'm talking about. Now, let me read some scripture here. Now, I want you to note carefully now this angel. I've tried to impress that each one of these angels had a specified target upon which to pour their wrath. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a voice, a great voice, out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of His wrath. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. That's an earthquake. The scriptures said that nothing like this had ever been before. Have you ever noted that every year earthquakes increase? Every year we have more than we did the year before. They're getting worse all the time. Earthquakes, earthquakes. This is the drawing of an artist. He read this in the Bible and he drew this picture as to how New York City will look when this earthquake strikes. Look at the concrete, the steel, the cement, the brick, the block, all that went to make up skyscrapers. The scripture tells me there'll be a day when the foundation of this earth shall reel to and fro as a drunken man. The Bible said the dust of this earth shall be turned into burning pitch. The cities of the nation fell. What it took men a long time to build, what men has dedicated their lives to do and what they've dedicated their lives for, they're going to stand with folded hands and watch it all crumble and go down in ashes and in ruins. But there's one promise tonight that Jesus made upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church I'm going to build.
Amen.
Hallelujah! Everything that man has built, his dreams, scientific inventions, everything that man has done is going to crumble, fall, fade away. The nations will feel it. The great cities of the nation fell. What an earthquake. The scripture said nothing had ever been like it before. Nothing. And every island fled away. And the mountains were not found. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nation fell. What an earthquake. To shake cities apart, to destroy cities, and every island was moved out of her place, and the mountains just fled away. What an earthquake. What an earthquake. I've thought so many times, if God is powerful enough to do this, to shake His creation, to bring men to His knees, if God can do all of this, cause great cities to fall, the foundation of the earth to reel to and fro as a drunken man, it's not hard for me to believe that God can take a little fellow like me and shake me and let me know that His power is real in this world. That's why I thank God for the Holy Ghost tonight. Now notice, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked in the sea of shame. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The islands fled away. The mountains were not found. It seems that the earth had a convulsion. It affected the air. It affected the elements. It affected the earth. And sometimes, when it works around in this part of the country, we'll have quite a bit of hail. It's because of the change of temperature. When cold air meets hot air, it makes all of this come to pass. But here's a hailstorm like you've never heard tell of before. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. You know what a talent weighs in the Bible? I know some vary, but the standard weight of a talent is about 100 pounds. Sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less. And I've seen hailstorms in my time where acres of cotton, acres of corn was beaten to pieces with little hailstones. I've seen hailstones as big as golf balls. That will beat the roof off of a house. That will beat the windows out of your car. It will dent your car top. It will destroy acres of cotton or corn or gardens or whatever the case might be. But when you talk about a block of ice falling from the elements above your head that weighs 100 pounds, that's another story, my friend. Somebody said it can't be. It's going to be anyhow. Whether we believe it or not, it's going to be. Hallelujah. The earth will have a convulsion. This angel's wrath will affect the elements, the earth. It will affect all of God's creation. The hailstorm. There is an actual picture of hail that has already fallen. That's actual pictures of hailstorm. Now, I want to show you a picture, and I think it's the next one. The hail as it falls, the weight of a talent. All these things that I'm talking about tonight. The wrath of God. There's a question asked in chapter 6 of this same book. For the great day of His wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? The scripture said in chapter 6 that the chief captains and the great men, the rich men, You know where they were going? They were going to the rocks and to the mountains to find a place to hide. We don't want to see him that sitteth on the throne. We want to get hidden away. For the wrath of the Lamb is come. Who shall be able to stand? Strange. Some folks are running from God and some folks are running to God. Some folks are running from the presence of God and others are reaching up with a hungry heart and saying, "Oh God, give me your presence. Give me your power. Give me your glory. Give me your victory." But others are running from it. Going to run one time, too many someday. This was an actual picture that I cut out of a magazine and I had this put on the slide picture. It was a 4-pound hailstone which fell during a storm yesterday in Troy, New York. Is held by John Kellenberg, a Troy College student. The king-sized stone measured 5 by 5.5 inches and weighed 4 pounds. You see, that's no dream. That is an actual hailstone as it fell in Troy, New York. And the title of the article was "Time to Duck." Time to duck. That's nothing compared to with what's coming. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is my Christ doing right now? What is He doing tonight? I want you to go with me for a minute. Let's go back for just a minute. Did you know that Jesus Christ, He went to the garden and He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Under extreme pressure, He had the burdens of the world upon His shoulders. He went there as a man, as a lamb, as a Savior, to pray for strength. He said, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thy will be done." If you could walk quietly to the Garden of Gethsemane, see Him as He prayed. The pores of His skin became His tiny wee gates. The travail of His soul, He was in agony. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. You know why He did this? To save us from wrath. To save us from sin. To save us from hell. Would you just lift your hands up and thank Him right now for that? Jesus. What is He doing now? He's walking down these aisles tonight. He's knocking upon the door of your heart. He wants you to let Him in right now. He wants you to let Him in right now. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with Me."